until the storm passes by. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Let's sing it all. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for that safe and secure shelter, whatever the storm may be? It's good. Good to be here this evening. Good to see you all. It's especially good to see this young man standing down here on this front row. I appreciate everybody's prayers for Kurt. I know he appreciates your prayers. And it was amazing when Curtis and I saw him Friday morning. He looked like somebody soaked him good and wrung him out. And then when Marcia and I walked in the room yesterday afternoon, he literally sprang off of the bed to come and give us a hug. I thought, wow, I wasn't sure it was the same boy. But we're grateful for the Lord's mercy to Carter. Please continue to pray for him. And of course, Miss Beth's surgery is Friday, scheduled for Friday. That last surgery in the series of surgeries she's having. So please pray for her. Whole family's kind of down. I heard she's holed up in seclusion while the rest of the guys are all sick. So keep her healthy in preparation for that surgery. And again, it's good to see you all this evening. We've got a great God. Had a great morning. Thankful for the whole family joining with us. And little Michaela presenting herself for baptism. And we love it. We're so thankful for all those blessings to us. Let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other tonight. Let's do that.
All right, if you'll return to your seats, let's turn to 314. 314. Ring the bells of heaven.
Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today for a soul returning from the wild. See the Father meets him out upon the way, welcoming his weary wandering child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. 'Tis the ransomed army like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
How many of y'all know that song? All right, I thought so. Let's sing out on that last verse. All right, sing out.
Ring the bells of heaven, spread the feast today. Angels swell the glad triumphant strain. Tell the joyful tidings, bear it far away. For a precious... Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. 'Tis the ransomed army, like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
All right, 281. I know everybody knows that one. 281.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
On the second and then the last.
Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this evening's offering and go over a few announcements. And if you'll notice, we got a new trainee down here up front. And just remember, pass the plate. Don't hold it. And if you get one that looks a little empty, send it back down the row. Just kidding here. No, y'all, it's good to see these young men and in service where we have them around the place. It's good to see that. Miss Marshall will be speaking on May 20th at Victory Baptist Church up in Wichita Falls, and she would like to know, where did she go, Miss Marsha? By next week? By next week, if you want to ride with her up there. So, there we go. So that way she can have an idea to do. So, today had the primary class had a party. I haven't heard of any more broken bones other than the ones that actually attended. So, I think we're good on that one. Let's see, the Metro Saints Fellowship is Thursday at 11 o'clock. Bring $3 just to cover the cost of the meal. And no need to bring anything after that. We're going to have some fun. We'll just say, what are we going to do? Well, come and see. We've had fun so far. So the So Brother Abernathy taught the preacher and I on how to play washers one day, and put me to school really good. So anyway, you'll be surprised what you might learn from some of these folks. So anyway, you got a Sunday school activity, the home builders, see the Evans about that. That's going to be Saturday at 4 o'clock. Fifth Sunday is next Sunday. It's a true potluck Sunday, so everybody bring all their good stuff. You know, their best desserts and their best meats. And did I mention the best desserts and best casseroles and side dishes and those green things called salads? And I really like the potluck ones. Those are the best ones yet. The ladies' spring banquets right around the corner, May 5th. The cost is $10, and there is a sign up on the back. And if you are providing decorations for the event, see Miss Marsh also on that. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the ones who's here today, Lord. Lord, there's some that's out traveling. I ask you to have traveling mercies on them. And Lord, there's some that's out sick today, Lord. Just bring them back to us feeling better. Lord, thank you for answering prayers this week. Be the offering about to receive, be the gift and the giver. And Lord, just a little second here. When the preacher comes to declare your word, Lord, give him the power and the words you want him to have. Please prepare our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
The beautiful music. Well, this is those messages tonight that I kind of wonder where it's going to go. So you ought to be a little concerned about that. But we're going to return to the subject of praise this evening. It's amazing how the subject of praise, and rightly so, permeates the entire Scripture from one end of the Bible to the other. The emphasis is there continually on our praise of God. Certainly, we want to magnify and lift up His name. Yeah, and you know, I've got to say, I guess I just have to stop. You know, I was texting with the LOLs this morning. That's those lovely ladies. And I told them, you know, trying to encourage them to have a good time. And about that time, I thought I heard Charleston, South Carolina, saying uncle. I think they've given up there. And so you pray for the gals. They're having a good time, and others that are traveling, and there's different ones on vacation and traveling already. You can be turning to Psalm 150. We're familiar with this psalm, certainly a psalm of praise. Not going to read the whole psalm, but we find out in verse 1, the theme is set in very obviously. If we want to stand together, please, in reverence to the Word of God. Psalm 150, reading verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power." We drop all the way down, we see continually each verse. Verses 1 through 5 starts with the word praise, and then verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." And just in case you've missed it, praise ye the Lord. Father, once again, we bow before you and just asking you to enter in and do for us this evening. We know that thou art a great God, a wonderful God, and we're so grateful, so thankful for your mercy to us. Indeed, Father, we want to express our gratitude with lips of praise, giving you a bit, just a bit of that which you so richly deserve and worthy of. We love you, Lord. Thank you for a great day. Thank you for my church family, each of my brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Of course, we'd be seated. We've said already, and continuing with our subject of praise of this wonderful God we have. What a great God He is. And so far, again, we haven't talked about or dealt with this subject every Sunday evening, but when we've had opportunity, we've looked at the God of praise, or speaking of the recipient of our praise. We've talked about the people of praise, and who would that be? Well, that's none other than us. We that know Him and love Him are the people of praise. And most recently, we looked at the reason that we praise Him, and there's so many of those. Hopefully, we're coming to the point where we realize that God and God alone is worthy of our praise. He deserves our praise, even as Psalm 150 in that sixth verse just challenges us, and almost the way it's worded, it just wants, it's one of those things that just makes you want to join in. Praise ye the Lord. Indeed, praise ye the Lord. The Bible reveals to us that even the creation praises its Creator. We've seen some of those verses. It's interesting. And on a windy or even a breezy day, we can see that even the trees are waving those arms or their branches. And it's certainly significant of the very creation giving its praise back to the Lord. Now, if you recall from the New Testament, and we should be familiar with it, just coming out of the holiday season, and we're mindful of that day when the Lord Jesus Christ made that triumphant entry into His city, His royal city. And as He made His way in to the city, you're mindful that there were the grumblers along the side. There were those, and unfortunately it was the religious leaders that were grumbling with Him concerning how His disciples, His followers, were so exuberant, would we say, in their praise of Him, and rightly as they should. And how did the Lord Jesus Christ answer them? If you're mindful, He said, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Indeed, the creation gives praise to its Creator. Yes, indeed. We should praise God. And in thinking back over the last couple of messages, some of those reasons that we should praise God. Obviously, we praise Him for our salvation. If you're saved tonight, please, don't ever hesitate to give God honor, give Him the praise that you are saved. Amen. That you know that forgiveness of sin. If, even as Brother John sang this morning of, the condition, the wonderful condition now that we're in, sinners saved by grace. We praise Him for His salvation. Certainly we should praise Him for His goodness. He is a good God. This one that we serve. We praise Him for His goodness. We praise Him for His mercy. We praise Him that He is Almighty God, for the power that He even displays continually. We praise Him. We praise Him tonight because our God is our hope. Amen. Even in the midst of battles and struggles, we cling to that hope that is ours in Jesus. Our God is our hope. We praise Him, as we've seen, because He is a prayer-answering God. He's a prayer-answering God. It's amazing. I was reading something concerning George Mueller, and I don't remember the details of it now, but he would chronicle the answers to his prayers. And we know that he was a prayer warrior nearly without equal. And as he prayed, he would then chronicle how God answered those prayers. And he would even keep track of how long it took God to answer those prayers. And he was astounded, even amazed, at how quickly God answered prayer. Indeed. Oh my, Lord, help us to be conscious that You are indeed a prayer-answering God. We praise Him as we've seen for that new song that He placed in our heart. Now, the old song was taken away, and there was a new song. You know, we used to march to the beat of the world, right? We march to the world's drum. But when we get saved, God changes all of that. Puts a new song and, hey, even a new step to it. Gives us a different step in life. We praise Him. We praise Him that He might be glorified. If all this is so, we indeed should praise Him. Praise Him vocally. Praise Him with lives that honor Him and glorify Him so that He indeed would get, hey, a measure. We'll never give Him all that He deserves, but a measure of the praise that He is so, so worthy of. Well, this evening, we move on and look at the message of praise. You say, well, I thought that's what we've been talking about. It's all the message of praise, but a little more specific here, the message of praise. What is the subject of our praise? What makes up the message of praise? Well, Some things we find in the Scripture that God's people praise their God for. First of all, we find them over and over again praising the name of God. The name of God in the Scriptures receives praise. The psalmist writes in Psalm 69, verse 30, simply, directly, the psalmist says, I will praise the name of God with a song. And we look at our hymn book. How many songs in our hymn book give even the name of God praise? It's a good thing. It's a biblical thing. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. We'll look at that second part a little bit in a moment. In one of my favorite passages that speak of this praise or giving God praise is Psalm 34. I love that psalm. And in Psalm 34, verses 1 to 4, listen to this. And again, this is a good lesson for us. Sunday evening, sometimes we kind of drag ourselves back into the service. Well, I got to get back to church after all. It's Sunday night. And I guess I better pull myself up out of this recliner and go. Well, David gives us the remedy for that. He challenges us. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He goes on in verse 3 and says, Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us, listen, and let us exalt His name together. Let us enter in together and exalt His name. He says, I sought the Lord. Here's a tremendous statement. I sought the Lord and what? He heard me. Sought the Lord and He heard me and what? Delivered me from all my fears. Isn't that a tremendous statement in those verses? When we lift up the name, oh my, in the Scriptures, the names, the many names of God, we're giving Him praise. And we're not, it'll be a study for another time, a very important study for another time. So the names of God declare things about Him. They declare things about His character. They declare things about who and what He is. And when we praise those names, we're praising the very nature and character of our God. They represent Him and who He is. When we worship and praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're exalting Him. Oh, what a name, isn't it? How many songs have been written about that name? the name of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a name. What a name. In Psalm 103, verse 1, what's it say there? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Indeed. Bless His holy name. What kind of a name is it? It's a holy name. The name of God is holy. It, again, it describes Him. It describes Him. God's holy name should be treated such. Doesn't it? I'm sure you're like me. It just, it's like a wound when I hear somebody taking the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. Taking our God's name in vain. It hurts, doesn't it? Why? Because you love Him. You'd surely be upset if you heard somebody take one of your loved ones, one of your family members, someone came and took their name in vain. It'd hurt you, wouldn't it? And when we hear the name of Jesus taken in vain, it's like a wound. It's like a wound. Indeed. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's the name in which we're saved, right? It's the name by which we are saved. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, our salvation. It's the name in which we pray, right? Jesus Himself in John chapter 14 and verse 13, He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask, what? In my name. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we pray, please, please don't just tack on the end, in Jesus' name, amen. It's almost disrespectful. You're coming to the very throne of God in that name. The name of your Savior. The name of the Son of God. You're coming to God for, can I say it this? His favors. You're coming to Him for to bring your requests, your petitions. Don't lessen it by just kind of tacking on in Jesus' name. Amen. His name is so much more worthy than that. It's in that name. The powerful name. The beautiful name. The saving name of Jesus that we pray. Oh my. And in that, as Jesus says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in me. God answers prayer in the name of His Son, and even that gives Him praise. Isn't it beautiful? Well, certainly the name. The name of God is part of our prayer. And the subject, the message of praise. And in that, we see that we magnify Him. We read this earlier from Psalm 34, where David invites us. He calls upon us, oh, magnify the Lord with me. With me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now, what's that word mean? Well, if you get to my age, and I know a lot, I'm always getting chided by some folks. Oh, you're not old. Well, we all understand that that's relative, isn't it? And I've got to that place where I keep a magnifying glass in my desk at home because there's just sometimes I need that thing. And Brother Tom had a great idea this morning, and I've used this before. It's these crazy smartphones are great. Now you can take a picture of something and then enlarge it right on your phone and make it bigger and see it a little better. But you know what? To magnify something means make it bigger, make it larger. But we understand we can't make God bigger. We can't make Him larger. But we can magnify Him in our hearts in that sense that we see Him in a greater and greater way. And certainly, And here's the important part. When we magnify Him with these lips in our praise, we're magnifying Him to all around us. Huh? Taking advantage of every opportunity to give Him glory, to praise Him. Whether it's on the job, hey, sometimes folks don't like it, do they? It's amazing. We were talking a few moments ago. I was talking. We were making mention of how it hurts when somebody uses our Savior's name in vain. And it's so automatic to, it's like, it, they don't even think about how they're saying or how they're using the lovely name of Jesus as a slur. Or to belittle something. And it's amazing when I used to work for a living and I was on the job and somebody would say something like that and then they'd remember, oh, there's Deacon Jim here. And they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, Jim. And my first reaction was always, you don't have to be sorry to me. You didn't use my name in vain. You use, and again, try to be gracious as I could and encourage them. Look, what did Jesus do to you that you use His name in such a way? And they would always take them back a bit because they know Jesus never did anything but good. Yes, indeed. Take the opportunity to magnify, praise Him for His goodness. Carter, I challenge you this week at school. Are you going to school this week? Yes, he's smiling even. You get to school this week, you give God glory all week for how He took care of you through this thing. When folks said, my, you really sprung back quick. Say, yes, God was good to me. Huh? Isn't He good God? He's good to all of us. He's good to all of us indeed. We're to magnify Him. Magnify Him. Hey, what if we're all just become a praising people? That our lives are lives of praise. You know what? It's contagious, isn't it? It's kind of contagious. When you smile, did you ever notice? Marcia fusses with me sometimes. We're at the Walmart, and I've told you this before. I kind of take it as a challenge. It's to see if I can get that clerk to smile. Huh? You know how sometimes it is. And they're busy then, and they just had a customer that gave them a hard time. You charged me too much! As if they set the price, you know. That poor clerk. So, I take it as it, can I get these folks to smile? But you know, it's something about smiling, it's contagious. And it's the same thing with praise. When we're there to give Him glory, to give Him honor, it's contagious. We could do with that contagion around here, couldn't we? Indeed. It's a real challenge when you go back up north. I know I was born on the other side of the Mason-Dixon. But don't hold it against me. When I go back now and you go into the market there and you better roll up your sleeves because you got a job to do to try to get them folks to smile. Don't you call me a Yankee. I like grits more than most of you all. All kidding aside, we magnify the Lord indeed. We magnify Him with our praise. We magnify Him with our thanksgiving. Psalm 69:30, it says, I praise the name with a song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. A thankful people. A grateful people give honor and praise to their God. You know, when are we not being blessed? Consider that, would you? When are we not under God's blessing as His children? We're constantly receiving blessings from the throne of grace, from the throne of God. And our thanksgiving magnifies Him. We just read that and we've read it. In Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that what? Hath breath. I trust that you all still have a little breath in you tonight. That's praising with that breath. the breath that God gives us. Everything that is alive, everything that God has given breath to should praise Him. Men. Men tend, again, I'm not speaking as far as gender here, but when I say men, I mean we as people. We tend to take His blessings to us for granted. We get so used to His blessings that we begin to take it for granted. He's so good to us. And it's possible for us to take His benefits for granted. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Be mindful. Psalm 103, verse 2. Forget not all His benefits. Lord, help us to be mindful. Please remember, we do not... Well, let me ask to do it this way. How many of His benefits do we deserve? We don't deserve any of it, do we? We don't deserve any of His benefits. It's only because of His grace that we receive those benefits. And so we that are so undeserving should give Him who's so deserving all the more praise. Judges, book of Judges, chapter 5, I believe. Deborah and the armies of Israel were given a great, great victory over the Canaanites. Their response in Judges 5 was that they sang the praises of God. They sang the praises of God for delivering them and avenging them of their enemies. We mustn't take His benefits and His blessings to us for granted. Don't forget. It's easy for us with His blessings to go on not giving Him the glory and the credit for those blessings. For those blessings to us. Do we take God's blessings for granted, even in the midst of the setbacks that also come? You know, when do we do the most praying? On the mountain or in the valley? In the good times or in the tough times? It seems that we're quicker to get on our knees in the tough times. And we're struggling with this or that. Well, hey, we need to give Him praise on the mountaintop too. We need to give Him praise. When did the psalmist say? At all times. At all times. Well, indeed, we magnify His working then. We magnify His working in our lives. Ephesians chapter 1, I like this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, that we should be, now this is interesting the way it's worded. Paul says that we should be to the praise of His glory. Isn't that an interesting statement? That we should be to the praise of His glory. Our very, everything about us should be to His praise. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Oh my. Then Ephesians 2, verse 10. We're so very familiar, and I quote it all the time. Two of my favorite verses in all the Bible were Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. But what about verse 10? Verse 10 is very, very important. It goes on, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 says this, for. And the idea there, that word for could, again, we would never correct our King James Bible, but it also has the idea of because. For, or because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm not saved by good works. I'm saved to good works. I'm saved to do good for our God. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Very important. God's at work in our lives. He's at work in our lives, whether we realize it or whether we recognize it. He's still at work. And, we see those warning signs along the freeway. I was going to say something very derogatory about the work along the freeways. It seems that it's never ending, and we all know about that. We see the signs along the freeway. What's it say? Forgive me for being politically incorrect. Men at work, or work zones, or something like that. Those signs will be up there to prepare us. Well, beloved, you and I could wear a sandwich board that says, God at work. God is at work in our lives. And praise God for it. Give Him praise for it. We are His workmanship. We are in the process, I guess would be a way of saying it, of Him accomplishing His beautiful, perfect will in our lives. You know, I confess, I've never had a great appreciation for poetry. Nobody ever accused me of being a poet. Just not happened. Probably will never happen. And I just have never had that great appreciation for poetry that I really should. But that word in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the word workmanship, it comes from the word that our English word poem comes from. It comes, let me see, I probably have it in my notes. It's the word poema in the Greek. Poema. So it's very easy to see that our English word poem comes from that word. Indeed. The Greek word has the simple meaning of referring to something that someone has made. The workmanship of someone. Beloved, whose workmanship are we? We are God's workmanship. Now again, I'm no poet, but I'm a poem and didn't know it. God, we are His workmanship. That God is creating, it's hard to say about most of us, something beautiful. Isn't that something? Isn't it great? God is at work creating something that gives Him praise. Lord, help us. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 make it clear that we have been saved by grace. Saved by His grace. Hold on to that. Our salvation, again, this is just rehearsal for us, reminder. Our salvation was a work that we could not do. We could not accomplish our salvation for ourselves. Now be mindful. All those that teach a work salvation, they're literally saying, whether they realize it or not, that Jesus shouldn't have died. Think that through. They're saying that Jesus shouldn't have died. Because, beloved, if you and I could somehow earn our salvation, why did Jesus have to die? Why did God send His Son to die if He really didn't need to die and you and I could earn our salvation? All that was a horrible, terrible waste. But we understand that biblically, the Bible teaches us very clearly that our salvation is by grace. God's what? Undeserved or unmerited favor towards us. His doing for us simply what we could not do for ourselves. Beloved, it's beautiful. It's something we give Him praise for. His work of salvation in and through His Son for us. Yes, indeed. Praise God. Praise God that He has indeed made us works of His grace. Works of His grace. Well, also we see here we magnify even in our tribulations. That's a tough one, isn't it? magnifying Him in our, or in the midst of our tribulations. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. There Peter writes, and he says, now listen to this. He says that the trial, the testing, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. The verse doesn't stop there. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now listen to that again. The trial of your faith, the testing, might we say the working over of your faith, being much more precious. Now, it's hard to understand that. It's hard for us to put that together. That the testing, the trials that come on our faith, indeed, that those trials come and it is a test. Do I trust God in the midst of this trial? Do I believe Him and His promises? Hey, am I the only one that's sensed that over the years? I know there's folks in this room that have been through those trials of faith. If you've been saved very long at all, you've experienced that. And in the midst of those trials, there's something going on that is more precious, more valuable than any measure, any stockpile of gold on this earth planet. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it even be tried with fire, the testing of that faith, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, there'll be the day that comes, Peter's saying. The day will come when our Savior returns. The Lord Jesus comes for us, whether it be while we're still walking this earth planet or we rise again with those that are asleep in Jesus. Either way, when we are united with Him, all those trials, those battles, the testing of your faith will be a precious thing. On that day, we'll look back and think, oh my, didn't know if I was going to be able to stand up under that. Didn't know if he's going to be able to withstand. And yet your faith stayed true. You trusted that what Jesus has promised you was worth believing. And you held on to Him. And on that day, looking back, oh my, it'll have a greater gleam. The shine will be more glorious than Fort Knox on steroids. Huh? Yes, indeed. It's hard to see that now, though, isn't it? It's hard to see that when you're in the midst of the trial. But oh my, when we look back, as trophies, looking back as trophies of His grace, we have the privilege to praise Him, even in and through, and for our trials. Huh? Are we able to thank God for the trials that He allows into our lives? Wow. If we're busy praising Him, even with the trials, it's not so likely we'll be doubting Him in the midst of those trials. It's tough. It's tough as a pastor and a family, a father, a mother asks you the question. You know that question, don't you? Why? Why? Why us, Pastor? Why is this happening in our... Why is this happening to our child? Why is this happening in my life? And you know there's no answer for that, is there? There's no answer as to why, except to cling to God. To cling to God and His promises. Believe Him. Stand with Him, knowing that He indeed is worthy. Well, lastly, we magnify Him for His grace. We've been talking about His grace all evening. Indeed, we could talk about it the rest of our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this statement. It says, To the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. And here's a statement that I love. Wherein He, God, hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Please let that soak in. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Wherein? What's that mean? That in His grace and by His grace, through His grace, wherein by, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. What's Paul talking about? The praise of God. Praise of God for His grace, again, as we've said over and over tonight, should constantly be in our lips. Ask yourself the question tonight. I trust here on a Sunday night, beautiful evening, most of us that have determined to come back to the Lord's house are saved. We're recipients of His grace. You and I are recipients of His grace. Ask yourself the question. Where would you be this evening without His grace? Where would you be tonight outside of His grace? We're only here because of His grace. We're only here because of His grace. We'd be left to ourselves. Left to our own abilities. And the Bible, as we said already, makes it so very, very clear that there's no way the works of the flesh can save a soul. The words in this verse are very interesting. Please, there in Ephesians chapter 1, you're probably still there, but whoop, there goes another one of my bookmarkers. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll get there eventually. Ephesians 1 verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Well, who's the Beloved? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting. That word accepted, the word accepted is very close. It comes from the same root word as the word grace. It's interesting. Comes from the same root word as the word grace in that language of the New Testament. We understand, of course, that it was the Greek language. And again, what's grace? That unmerited or undeserved favor of God on our behalf. Now, in English, it wouldn't make sense, but we could think of these words this way. And again, being mindful that the Beloved in this verse is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We could, again, we're not correcting the King James Bible. Don't get the idea. Preachers correcting the Bible. Not at all. But we could think of it this way. In verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has graced us, is what the word means. The idea of the word is to grace someone. And indeed, why are we accepted in the Beloved? Because of His grace. Because God was pleased to show us grace. It's the only way I'm acceptable in Christ. Been made accepted in the Beloved. Now, I don't very often do this, but sometimes it's helpful to see how a word is used another place in the Bible. And this word, this Greek word for accepted, is not found very often in our New Testament, but we do find it in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, if you would turn there. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, the angel, that messenger from God, comes to Mary. And in verse 28, it says this: "The angel of the Lord came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Can you guess where our word, or how our word accepted, that Greek word, is translated there in that verse? The words "highly favored." Huh? What's the angel telling Mary? You've been graced. How was Mary graced? She was graced. She received, it was a recipient of God's grace to be favored in such a way to bear the only begotten Son of God. That was grace, beloved. Huh? What's he say? "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Indeed. We don't worship Mary as some do, but we still recognize her as being highly favored. To be favored in such a way by God, to be that instrument through which He would bring His Son into the world. She was highly favored. Greatly favored. I know this doesn't make sense, but that's me sometimes. Greatly graced. Graced in a great way. Well, what was Mary's response to this? Well, later in that same chapter, Luke chapter 1, you're mindful that she's now carrying the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb. And she travels and goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And later in that chapter, let's see, picking up in verse 41 of Luke 1, it says, "It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, as Mary entered in the house and greeted her cousin, it says, the babe leaped in her womb." What babe was that? John the Baptist. "The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth," notice, "was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and say," listen to this, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" What tremendous statements, isn't it? "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Hey, even John the Baptist, as an unborn child, is giving praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Verse 45. "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord." All the prophecies concerning the birth would be fulfilled. And then Mary responds. Mary responds, what's she say? "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Isn't that what we've been talking about? Giving God, making God great. "My soul," she says, "doth magnify the Lord." And listen to this: "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She knew. Sometimes, don't you often wonder what Mary understood? As we read here, she knew she was carrying the Savior. And notice, I know this would be pretty dismaying for our Catholic friends, but she declares that He's her Savior. Mary needed a Savior too. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my. You say, what was that all about, preacher? Giving Him glory. And magnifying Him. Magnifying Him. Shouldn't we praise God for His grace, beloved? Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Very important statement in this very important book. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, where it says, being justified, being made right, is what that word justify means. Being made right with God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Says it all, doesn't it? We've been justified by His grace. We've been made right with God by His grace, through His Son, through our Savior. Wow. I don't know if I'll, this side of glory ever be able to truly come to a... I hope I could say this correctly. To come to a full understanding of the grace of God. And that's a bigger subject than my puny brain can take in. The grace of God. John Newton had an idea of it, didn't he? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We'll be praising for His grace tonight. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we bow before You. Lord, we want to give You glory for Your grace. You're a great God, a wonderful God. And Lord, we surely understand that these frail lips can only partially, can only in a small way, truly magnify You as You deserve. To give You the glory that You so deserve. Lord, this evening, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would help us. Help us this evening to just truly thank You for Your grace. To praise You for the work of Your grace on our behalf. Lord, thank You tonight for Jesus. And I pray that You'd help us wherever we're at all times, and in every place, give You praise. I'm asking You, Lord, it's easy here in this church house. It's easy here when we're together with our brothers and sisters. But Lord, tomorrow, on the job, at the school, in the marketplace, please strengthen us, encourage us. Might You so fill us with Yourself that we can't help to praise You, to give You glory. Might Your praise be continually in our mouth. We love You, Lord. We love You. And we thank You this evening for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, and for His glory, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 3.
Page 3. We sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. 10,000 years and we've what? Just begun. Just begun. Wow. We have an eternity to enjoy and give Him praise. Enjoy Him and praise Him. Amen. Amen. Let's not grow weary of our praise of our God. Amen. It's great. Brother John.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, He Lives.
He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
You're dismissed.